Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Eastern Europe used to have a specific meaning, not so much geographical as political. It meant the countries behind the Iron Curtain, and it meant those scary Asiatic hordes waiting to swarm en masse across Western Europe to enslave us all. Now, though, there is no Eastern Europe anymore, just Europe. Maybe Middle Europe, if you want to be fancy about it. But the old Eastern Europe lives on in the minds and films of the countries that suffered the brunt of two world wars and both Nazi and Stalinist occupations. So this week, I'm looking at three really good movies, all from Eastern Europe, and they all played at TIFF this year. They come from the Czech Republic, Poland, and Hungary. And they're all historical dramas, two set in the 60s and one in 1944. The Burning Bush, directed by Agnieszka Holland. In January 1969, Jan Palach, a history student at Prague's Charles University, walks into Wenceslas Square with a bucket, pours a liquid all over his head, and then sets himself on fire. He's rushed to the hospital to treat his burns, but is barely alive. He immediately becomes a symbol of Czech opposition to the invasion of the country by Russian tanks to crush the short-lived Prague Spring. This is in the late 60s. So the party overlords want his story silenced or the narrative stripped of any political significance. The Czech investigator in the movie looking into the case doesn't want the Russians to impose martial law, so he tiptoes through it. And his political allies, Jan's political allies at the university, students and some professors, want his story told. And then there's his family, his older brother and his mother, the ticket seller at a remote train station, who are devastated when they discover what happens. But when a privileged party hack makes the papers when he states Jan Palach not only was working for the West, he claimed, and also never intended to burn himself alive, Jan's steadfast mother decides to sue the man who made the speech with the help of a sympathetic lawyer, a woman, and a young, idealistic university student. But then the wrath of the party is let loose all around the main characters with midnight phone calls, men in black cars parked outside their homes, and mysterious disappearances. Burning Bush is an epic, four-hour-long story with many diverse plot lines and dozens of characters, but it stands up beautifully all together. The director, Agnieszka Holland, Polish director, follows the gripping story all the way through and had me glued to the screen for the full 4 hours. Ida, directed by Pavel Pawlikowski. Anna, played by Agata Trzbukowska, was an orphan baby in World War II Poland, left at a nunnery near Łódź. She wears a plain gray dress and covers her hair. She's quiet and obedient. Now she's 16 and ready to take up her vows to become a nun, but the mother superior insists first she speak to her only known relative, her aunt, Wanda Gruz, played by Agata Kulesza. But why? Wanda is a woman of the world. She wears lipstick, smokes cigarettes, listens to jazz. She sleeps with younger men. She picks up in bars. She's cold, cynical, and bitter. She used to be a high-ranked Communist Party prosecutor, though she seems to have lost her status. And she's Jewish. So Anna discovers she's Jewish too, and her real name is Ida. Wanda tells her to experience carnal sin, then she can have something to confess when she takes the vow. So Ida just wants to see her parents' grave. Wanda, she laughs. Jews who died in the war have no graves, she said. But the two of them head out to the small town where it all happened. Family took over the home, stonewalls them, and says there were never any Jews here. But does he know what happened to her parents? He says he's never heard of them. So Wanda delves deeper into the story. Ida starts to discover her own hidden history. Wanda gradually warms towards her. She's just like her sister with her red hair and dimples. When she smiles, Ida dips her toe into the real world. She has to decide between cosmopolitan Poland and a cloistered life behind the walls. Okay, so Ida, this movie is beautifully shot in black and white. Each scene stylized, only 80 minutes long, but has everything it needs. It's subtle, compact, minimalistic, two actresses, both named Agata as the naive teen and her world-weary aunt, are both fantastic. And they have great rapport between the two as they gradually, as their relationship gradually changes. This is a great movie. Beautiful to look at, moving to watch. Look out for this one. Le Grand Cahier, directed by Janos Jasch, based on the novel by Agota Christoph. A soldier and his wife live in a big city with their twin boys, Andras, played by Andras and Laszlo Gemont. Life is beautiful. Then suddenly, boom, it's 1944. The Germans are moving in, taking over Hungary. So they send the twins off to stay with the wife's estranged mother in a remote farm to keep them safe. It's wartime, their dad says. Everything's different now. He gives them a big black ledger. That's the Grand Cahier of the title. And they promise to record everything that happens. So Grandma, fat, gruff, unmannered, is known as the witch by the locals. She has no friends. She takes care of the farm by herself. I'll put them to work. They don't eat for free, she says. The twins, dressed in navy pea coats and clean white shirts, are terrified by the evil witch. And they only have one book to read, the Bible, but they use it for memorization and grammar, not for prayers. So the boys decide in order to survive the war, they have to be impervious to pain, hunger, and remorse. They refuse food from the grandmother, and they take turns punching and hitting each other to see who can endure the most. So the two boys start to meet people. There's a girl they call Hairlip, played by Orsolio Toth, who teaches them how to steal, and a kindly Jewish shoemaker who gives them boots. Then there's the corrupt deacon at the church and his lascivious secretary. She introduces them to the adult sexual world, but they recoil from her black heart. And then there's the gay Navy officer who's fascinated when he sees the two twins punching each other. The twins record everything, good and bad. They witness the wartime atrocities, and they start to kill first insects, working their way up to the food chain. Will they become killers themselves, just like the people around them? Or will they retain a sense of morality? So Le Grand Cahier is an amazing, rich, and disturbing coming-of-age story told through the twins' eyes. Two boys, undifferentiated, giving a mystical, novelistic, childlike view of wartime life under the Nazi occupation. The movie follows them till the end of the war with a gripping, unexpected finish. You should see this one when it comes out. The Burning Bush, Ida, and Le Grand Cahier all played at TIFF 13. Keep an eye open for these three movies. This is Daniel Garber with the movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM. And on my website, culturalmining.com.